This is Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And we've, of course, let's just say we're dedicating the show to Fidel, but we're talking about other matters as well. I want to say, by the way, this program really appreciated Beth Satoun. Beth Satoun is now has closed out for the this period. We don't know what's going to be upcoming. Everybody is so appreciative of Beth Satoun. You can, they're still available online, and you can see the statements from Robert and others. And but Taylor Report really appreciated them and liked working with them and attending the many events. And it was quite an undertaking. We hope in a few weeks we'll be able to talk to the personnel, and particularly Robert at Beth Satoun. And on other fronts, I'm going to just say I myself had the opportunity to meet Fidel, and he was first of all, such a genuine, tactile person. First thing he did was put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Compay," looked me in the eye, and I thought, "Oh my gosh, this is a leader who really, the old expression, the cliche, relates." I was fortunate because I was just happened to be in the company of Truman Nelson, an American novelist, dedicated fighter against racism, wrote several novels, two great ones about John Brown, and what had brought him to Cuba, besides being, I was in his company, was that he had written about the armed struggle of black Americans in the South, particularly discussing Robert Williams. And Robert Williams was in Cuba. Fidel had accepted him. The FBI was trying to catch him and persecute him because he had been an NAACP leader and had been threatened by the Klan. And being an ex-Marine, he took his rifle and got ready for the Klan, saying, "Don't come in my neighborhood." And, of course, the American government hated the thought that black people would defend themselves. So they went to crush him. He was a marvelous individual, extremely brave, as was his the rest of his family, his wife and others. And he had made it to Cuba. And he had a radio program called Radio Free Dixie, where you could hear Lead Belly and other people. And so Truman Nelson had written about him and had come there to see him. So when Fidel, I was at a gathering when Fidel was there. Blas Roca was there, by the way, leader of the Communist Party of Cuba. He returned he was going to be leaving. This is, by the way, when Fidel leaves the party's over. I can tell you that. I've witnessed everybody's having a good time. And then they said, "Oh, Fidel's going. Okay, I'm going." And so he came directly over. As someone said, "Truman Nelson is here." And he wanted to talk to Truman Nelson. And then there I was, so he talked to me. But what I was so impressed with was just he was this engaged. And he was it wasn't ever small talk with him. It was intense. He was focused. He heard what you were saying. And he could put questions to you, and he wasn't playing with you. He spoke some English, by the way. It's not as though I had a big conversation. I just was there and got the following day. By the way, we leave the meeting, leave that gathering. What they were doing, by the way, when I arrived with Truman Nelson, there was another man there people might know, Graham Greene. We came in the dark, and it was a garden, like outdoors, and they had a screen up, and they were showing Fidel's makeup visit with Khrushchev, because Khrushchev and Fidel had a falling out over missiles. Russia wanted to pull the missiles and a side deal with the Americans, and Fidel was standing up for Cuban sovereignty. And that was a touchy situation. So he had gone to Russia and had this. So we were watching the film of him and Khrushchev embracing. That's how. So I'm standing in the dark, pitch dark, and the lights go up, and he's sitting in front of me. I said, "Well, I was kind of fortunate." And then he gets up, and that's where, of course, we were. and had this. So then we followed him through the building and out. The Russians were there and the Chinese were there. So I wasn't second or third. I was delegation number 43, I think. So we go out, and he's at a home, and it's a nice residence. He's going down the steps, and I'm walking along behind him, and someone shouts Fidel from the street. And then he says, oh, compadre, you know what? He looks up. He stops. So we all stop. So then people start shouting his name. And before we know it, he can't go down the steps because so many people are coming to talk to him. So he doesn't push his way. He stands and talks. So he conducted a popular meeting. And people asked him questions, and he answered, and they talked. And I remember one guy was a kind of a wise guy on the back of the crowd, shouted something not pleasant to him, and he said, compañero, wave, come here. And the guy, everybody looks. And the guy looks at himself thinking, maybe I shouldn't have done this. So then he makes his way through, and Fidel puts his arm around his shoulder, and then they have a private conversation in front of us. He said, what is it with you? And the two of them talked, and we're all watching. And then they went on further with other, people asking. And then I noticed something, that his armed guys in a jeep, about three of them, four of them. And they were watching. And then they went over and began to take a nap because they knew they were going to be there a while. And we all stood. I swear it was about 2:30 in the morning before we finally left. So what's going to happen the following day? The following day is Viernes de Julio. It's the 26th of July. It's a big deal. So I get up, and together with I remember a guy from Muhammad Speaks, the son of Elijah Muhammad, he and I and others, we go to the 26th of July, and there was about a million people joined us. It's just as far as the eye could see were people. And then Fidel, of course, came. Somebody introduced him. By the way, I also saw Boumediene that day, the leader of Algeria, was there. He was not at that time the leader. Ben Bella was the leader at that time. But they said, you see that guy? That's the leader of the Algerian armed struggle, later the leader of the whole country. Anyway, at least a million people. So he walks up to the microphone, and he says, Ahoy, today. And the crowd, they went on for like 5-10 minutes while he went over and had a drink of orange juice and whatnot, walked around, talked to people. And they're still chanting and yelling because all he had said was, Ahoy. But a phrase stuck in my ear that I've never lost. He said, Todos los pueblos del mundo, all the people of the world. And another thing he said, which I enjoyed very much, he said, Imperialismo junkie. And I said, yeah, you got it. And that was a display of this is what you call popular democracy. He had introduced a revolutionary change in the country, and he wasn't living in an estate remote from the people. It was an actual people's movement. These are called revolutions, and that's why the Globe and Mail and New York Times will never understand. This is about people who actually have confidence in their leaders, and they love them, and it's mutual. And they changed the country. They said, well, now we're going to educate everybody. Now we're going to do this. And everybody says, yes, and that's what you do. So anyway, I had that experience. But so amazing. Ramsey had just now said, he was talking to him all night practically about literature. Well, there is a big question. When did this guy sleep? Because he had an extraordinary energy. The other thing I can tell you that my memory at that time is that he was physically impressive guy. He looked to me what I used to tell people, he looks like a linebacker. He was thick through the shoulders and body, obviously an athlete. Phil, you played baseball. He was a track and field man. And Muhammad Ali and all these people, they loved him. They knew this is a real guy, This guy can do it all. The only example I could give you of his being a dictator is that somebody struck him out once and he demanded a fourth strike. And everybody said, yeah, let him have another strike. And then the guy struck him out on the fourth strike. He had, of course, people with him who were like that. Camilo Cienfuegos had been an American baseball player with some potential.